All right, welcome everybody to the first episode of the Mitch and Niels Bull Show. My name is Mitch. To my right, come on, man, Niels over here. How you doing, Niels?
It's your boy, Niels. What up, world? And by world, I mean our friends.
Guys, this is our first episode. Basically, what we're going to be doing here is just talking about the Bulls, from a fan perspective. We're not experts. We're not journalists. We're not insiders. We're just fans who love the Bulls. So we're going to be taking you through the whole offseason, talking about the Bulls, getting geared up for the 2012-2013 campaign, Life Without Derek. It's going to still be good, though, right?
To say that we love the Bulls and we're just fans, that might be a bit of an understatement. There's a lot of irrational emotion that comes with our experience being fans. I'd call us rabid. I would also call us having this very unhealthy obsession. It's definitely challenged our relationships with our girlfriends. So you'll definitely get a very unique perspective from the both of us. And we can't promise that it'll be rational.
Nah, it definitely won't be rational, but we hope it will be fun. This is where you can reach us. None of these things actually exist until we drop this. But we got the Twitter, at The Bull Show, website, thebullshow.blogspot.com. And you could also email us at thebullshow@gmail.com. So we're definitely going to be relying on the people listening, kind of hit us on those social media and give us things to talk about, questions from a rational Bulls fans perspective.
Yeah, we'll definitely appreciate all your comments, questions, concerns, and especially criticism, because we won't really feel like we made it until we got some haters.
We need the haters. And we love our haters, too. We love our haters. All right, guys. We will be back in about 1 second. We're going to drop our three topics for the day. We're going to be talking about how it ended. We're going to be talking about life without Derek. And we're going to be talking about who we're going to root for now. Bulls out the playoffs. We got to root for somebody. Basketball still going on. So we'll be back in a second. All right, y'all, we are back. Topic number one. Well, first off, happy surgery day.
I wish that, I don't know, that's a bit of oxymoron, right?
Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah, definitely.
You can't really have a surgery day that's happy, but I guess everything that we're hearing from Reggie Rose, a.k.a. Timberland, is that the surgery went successful, and Derek, I guess, is now on his long road to recovery.
Yeah, Reggie Rose is Derrick Rose's brother, older brother, right? And he's kind of the guy, I think, that's been guiding Derrick's career, protecting him, making sure he stays away from all the things that ail young basketball players. But if you haven't heard, and we're talking about this on Saturday night, Derrick Rose had his ACL surgery. Apparently things went really well, according to Reggie Rose and a number of other reporters. So there's that, right?
I guess this is step one in the recovery process. But like I said, it's gonna take some time. Take some time before we see Derek back in action.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about how things ended, Jay, you are a sneakerhead, right?
Correct.
All right. You've heard all the madness that have been hidden Twitter, hidden Facebook about this whole Adidas Nike thing.
Yep.
What do you think about that, man? You're the biggest sneakerhead I know, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit more after this.
Well, full disclosure, I'm Team Swoosh all the way. I've been born and raised on Nike, and I think a lot of that is attributed to just, coming up with Jordan. Not saying that I knew Jordan, but, as a young kid, getting highly influenced by Jordan and the Nikes that he wore. So there is some bias. Uh-huh. But I think it is pretty crazy to really, attribute the injury to him wearing Adidas until you start looking at some of the recent injuries that have happened. And I'm not, there's no research that I've done to support this. But you look at some of the latest injuries, and I'm talking about Amon Shumpert, even Baron Davis, even Joakim Noah rolling ankle. Taj Gibson, he rolled his ankle, in game 5?
Yeah.
All of those guys, do not wear Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I might get a lot of flack for being a little too biased and, you know, siding with the Swoosh here. But it's just a strange coincidence. Let's leave it at that.
Definitely. Well, there were only four players to, based on my research, to have ACL injuries this year. Two are Nike guys, two are Adidas guys. But Nikes account for a large majority of the basketball players. So, I mean, it's 2-2, but if you kind of, you know, you're the math guy, that's not good numbers, right?
No, it's very suspect. And, you know, if I don't know how many people out there play in Adidas and how they like them. Of course, I've only played in Nikes. Right now, you know, the heat that I'm wearing on my feet is Jordan 12s, Jordan 12 playoffs. And, you know, it's great that Adidas is trying to create or, you know, establish themselves in the market as having this lightweight footwear that allows you to, you know, have more speed because not much is weighing you down. But again, no research to support this, but it's anytime that I've worn lightweight shoes, I feel like it doesn't offer you as much stability. It doesn't keep you low to the ground. And again, I'm no, you know, all world athlete by any means, but, again, all I'm trying to say is it's suspect.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. Obviously, Derrick Rose injured his ACL game one of the series versus Philadelphia. Everybody, I think, at the time still felt pretty good about the Bulls.
No, hold on. That's a lie. And a half.
Okay, I feel good.
No, what are you talking about? You felt good? Okay, let me full disclosure here to whoever's listening, all three of you people. my boy here, Sharon, aka Mitch. You know this dude. I've never seen someone go into a state of depression.
I got
like
a little emotional.
A little emotional. The dude went dark, meaning he went off the grid.
All right, let me give a little context.
Was in bed for like 16 hours, not in contact with anyone. Like, I almost was ready to send a search party out for him.
Well, my boy Jay, me, Eugene, and our other buddy Mizuki planned this trip to go out to Philadelphia. About a week before the season ended, and we were real excited. And I mean, there were about 100 emails traded over the trip, and we eventually did go to Game 3 and Game 4. But I admit, Derrick Rose goes down Game 1, and there was a little bit of radio silence on this part.
I don't want to call it hypocritical. I don't want to start beef with us on episode 1. But you know. Sharon took it pretty hard. Mitch took it pretty hard.
I took it pretty hard.
And it's just funny to have me hear him say that people were still feeling good because he was not in that game.
Well, I was feeling good. If you would have asked me, did I think the Bulls were going to beat Philadelphia, I still would have said at any point, yes.
Right.
But that did not happen. Game one, Bulls win. Game two, it was basically a layup drill in that third quarter, right?
Right.
That was tough. And then we go down to Philadelphia. The fans, the super fans, go down to Philadelphia. We drop two, you know, hard ones. I think of note, you know, Joe Kim Noah goes down in game three. We're up, what, about 14?
Right.
And we lose that game. Come back game five, have a really good performance. Things are looking good. And then game six. What do you guys say about game six, Jay?
Game six was tough to swallow. I think there's a number of incidents or plays that you can point the finger to what cost us the game. But yeah, it was crazy because, you know, if we won game six, I had the utmost confidence that we were going to win game seven.
Definitely. Did you feel like we were going to win game six?
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially when we were up three, I think it was, with under a minute to play.
But before the game, what were you thinking?
I think it was a toss-up. I had no good feeling about it, and really the only thing that kept me going was a few beverages with alcohol to help me watch the game.
Well, the Bulls had a crazy loss. Came back in that third quarter and just looked great. I mean, it was nirvana. Looked like I was ready. Like, what am I going to do on game seven? What bar am I going to go to? Am I going to watch it at home? What's going to happen? And then
let's talk about the last, what was it? 20 seconds?
Last 20 seconds. Boy, oh boy. The Bulls, what are they up?
We're up one.
We're up 1 point.
78-77. CJ Watson gets the inbounds pass.
And we will definitely have more podcasts later on talking about what the Bulls are going to do with their roster. But C.J. Watson, our starting point guard.
At the time.
And for next year, if it happens, gets the ball, gets inbound, comes down court, gets fouled. No call.
No. Twice. He got fouled twice. If you watch the replay, he got fouled twice.
They're obvious intentional fouls.
Right.
No call.
Intentional, not flagrant, but they're trying to foul him.
Definitely. He gets past our own three-point line. Would you consider Ashik to be wide open?
Here's my thing. You know, there are a lot of people who are calling for CJ's head.
Uh-huh.
Because he made, you know, what was a boneheaded play for Chicago fans that are listening, you know, it reminded me of when Marion Barber went out of bounds.
Wow. Let me stop you there. That was clearly an awful play.
Right.
Was C.J. Watson's play clearly an awful play? I got beef.
In hindsight, yes. But here's the thing. In hindsight, yes. But it was the right basketball play. And the reason why I can substantiate that is because essentially, you know, if I'm stripping the play down fundamentally speaking, the play was a drop-off pass for Omer to finish the play. That nearly same type of play happened the possession before, where they ran a pick and roll, and Omer rolled to the basket, CJ dropped it off, and Omer threw it down.
Okay, so a couple things. Mm-hmm. I totally disagree.
Okay.
First off, had you seen before that play Ashik catch a pass like that? I'm talking about the play before.
When he did finish?
Yeah, when he did finish.
Oh, I was amazed as all.
Were you shocked?
I was, definitely shocked.
Omer Ashik is definitely not the NBA's version of Chris Carter. He has hands and shoes. And for him to catch and finish, I thought was pretty awesome. I just think as a guard, I mean, CJ Watts is a pretty nice free throw shooter. You got to know the situation, and you got to know that you got to keep that ball. You can't put a 40, because you know the foul's coming, right?
Right.
So you can't put a 47% free throw shooter on the line for the biggest shots of the season.
I'll have to watch the replay again, but as a point guard, instinctively.
And we are two point guards.
We're different types of point guards. Sherrill might be a pass first point guard. I am definitely a shoot first, irrational confidence point guard.
You are. Let's take a break. NBA comparison.
Okay.
Just to get
we're on a little tangent.
Yeah,
we're
a little tangent.
So we hoop. We hoop on occasion. Yeah. We try to play maybe once, twice a week.
Yeah.
Here's the best current NBA comparison. Not too long ago, I played pickup with some friends.
Yes, sir.
And the friends of a friend started telling their buddy, who we were mutual friends with, that they started calling me Nick Young.
Wow.
And wow. You know, I'm going to go on a limb here and say it wasn't intended as a compliment.
No, it wasn't.
They described me as Nick Young because I may or may not have been a black hole.
Okay. Everybody who reads Bill Simmons, you know Bill Simmons from Grantland, ESPN, he has this theory, irrational confidence guy. Jay, many times in that Philly trip when we played basketball, you referred to yourself as an irrational confidence guy.
The worst thing that could happen if you're on my basketball team in pickup is that I make my first shot.
What happens then?
Because then it's lights out from that forward. Basically, my range starts once I cross half court. And I get shots.
Three-point line to three-point line.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. I don't play. It's basically, for those of you who are listening, you know, if you're working on your game, let me just drop some knowledge on you. If you really want to conserve your energy, you know, just play three-point line, three-point line.
That's the life.
That's where I live.
That's the life. I can't shoot, and that's the reason why I don't shoot as much. But Jay has got the Jay. So,
and when we talk irrational confidence, let me just add one more thing. You know, I could miss eight straight, but all that means is the ninth one's going
in. The only way to get out of a slump is keep shooting.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Words to my boy Ben Gordon. the third greatest bull of all time.
Whoa! We just lost all our listeners with that statement.
One Jordan, two Kukoc, three Ben Gordon. Let's go. Let's go.
We might need to give, for those of you who don't know, we might have to give some context behind that. Let's just say that when we asked Mitch, who his man crushes were, his top three were Ben Gordon, Ben Gordon, and Ben Gordon.
I love Ben Gordon, man. The man has hit shots for our organization. All right, we'll get back to that.
We got off track.
Here. We got off track.
That's been happening a lot on the show,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, definitely. So you say C.J. Watson, good basketball play. I say C.J. Watson should have known.
Good basketball play out of context.
Okay. Any heat for Ashiq for making the foul, not missing the two shots? For missing the two free throws? Do you sign any blame to him?
It's tough. I hate playing the blame game. Because, like we've already talked about, you can blame CJ for making that pass. Uh-huh. You could also blame the refs for not calling a flagrant foul. That was a blatant flagrant foul.
Yeah, but are you going to get that flagrant call? Do you want that call? I mean, is that really going to happen? Are you going to end the game?
I agree.
That effectively ends the game. Is that going to happen?
I agree that you're not going to get the call, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Spencer Hawes grabbed horse collar Omer Ashiq, pulled him down on the ground. It was not a basketball play. A flagrant foul should have been called.
Okay.
So, you know, again, you can allocate some of the blame there. You can allocate some of the blame, again, to Omer. You know, just make one, buddy. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not asking much from you, Ratatouille. You know, that's a reference to the dude he looks like, that Disney movie. But anyways, you know, you got to make one. And then lastly, essentially all of the Bulls players on the second missed free throw were inside the three-point line.
Yeah,
trying to get offensive.
Roddy Brewer was crashing the boards. Everybody was crashing the boards.
I guess they knew that, you know, he was going to miss it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it just put them in such a bad position where Iggy took the ball the length of the court and you know, drew the foul.
I mean, Ashiq was on that island, man.
Right.
If you zoomed in on his face, it probably did not look good because that was just not a good-looking play with A9 coming down the lane and just...
It was just... There were so many things that went wrong in that span of 15 seconds that could have been prevented. You know, it was basically the perfect storm of disasters.
Okay. I'm going to take it one step back, and we're going to move on to our next topic. Ashiq was definitely tired.
Yeah.
Carlos Boozer was 1-for-11 with 5 or 6 turnovers.
Right.
Did not play the final 16 minutes. Do you think that we should have seen a little Carlos Boozer just offense, defense, because Ashiq was so tired?
No. You know, the reason why you have Boozer in there is for offense. Like, if he's not giving you offense, then you got to take him out of the game and keep Omer and Taj in there because those guys are at least going to get you stops.
Definitely.
So I don't think we should have seen Boozer, especially with him going 1-for-11. I think one last point I want to make, and I forget where I heard this from. The crazy thing about it is that last play, that last offensive sequence, was CJ to Omer.
Uh-huh.
If we're completely healthy, that last play should have been Rose to Noah.
And people just aren't talking about this enough. I just love Joakim Noah. And I think he's so underrated. We win game 3 with Joakim Noah. And I think we win the series in 6 with Joakim Noah. People don't realize how important he is to this team. Great passer. I think he gives the team a real good spark. And, you know, it's just a shame that he went down. That's kind of what people aren't talking about.
Especially, you know, you talk about him being underrated. Especially his offensive game.
Uh-huh.
You know, you look at his shot and it's ugly as all hell. But, you know, I would arguably say that he's our second best playmaker.
Yes,
and
definitely.
And
excellent
on top
passer.
Of that, you know, with Rose out, essentially, our offense is let's just chuck up a shot and hope for an offensive rebound.
Yeah.
And it's going to come from Taj, and it's going to come from Joakim. And when he went out, you know, you basically took away our top two offensive guys when you
definitely,
think about it.
Definitely. All right, well, enough about our failures as Bulls fans. It was a tough series. The Bulls go down the fifth one seed in NBA history to lose in the first round.
Asterisk.
You know,
asterisk.
The Spurs don't have an asterisk. They just got beat, right?
Right.
Who else?
The Heat
Mavericks?
Oh, the Mavericks do not have an asterisk.
Now,
they got punked by the Warriors.
I've heard, though, that Nelson knew all their plays.
So? It's,
no asterisk there.
There's no asterisk. I mean, you know, I remember back, not to make this about me, but I remember back in high school, you know, we ran a set offense, and, you know, you get scouting reports, and you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Still, the other team couldn't stop it.
Okay.
Like, just because you know something's it comes down to execution.
Basically, how people can't stop my spin move. You know it's coming.
No,
you know it's coming.
No one can stop your spin move because of your abnormally large wingspan.
That's true. All right. Philly gets the asterisks. They go down to the Celtics. That was a pretty good game. They were winning the whole game.
We're actually recording this episode probably 20 minutes after the finish of that game, which surprises me that Philly, Philly stayed in that game for so long. Actually had the lead for most of the game because I thought they were going to get smacked.
Who wins that series?
Boston. Easily Boston. I mean, I would say easily, but I'd say Boston in 5, maybe 6.
And the game will be long over before people actually get a chance to hear this. But right now we're watching Denver-LA. And just for cred, who wins this game?
Well, you know, my mind says LA. My heart says Denver. But I'm going to go with LA.
All right. Cool. All right, we're going to move on to topic number 2. We'll be back in a second. I'll let you guys listen to some beats. And we'll be talking about life without Derek next season. What are we going to do now?
I don't want to think about it.
All right, we'll be back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Topic number 2, life without...
I thought those were 3.
No, we're on 2, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Life without Derek.
It's not a situation that I want to think of or really consider, but I guess we have to discuss it, huh?
Yeah, we got
to
discuss it. I mean, when I wrote this, you know, writing out the topics, you know, I kind of wrote it at first thinking 2013 would be the year without Derek, but 2012 was kind of the year without Derek as well, this year right now.
That's true. We weathered the storm. And that's why it surprises me that Thibodeau didn't win Coach of the Year. You know, I know that Popovich is well-deserved, but he had an MVP candidate on his team.
He had it. And, you know, the demise of Tim Duncan has been greatly exaggerated. He's still a baller.
Right.
Manu Ginobili is still a baller.
He'll still give you a vintage Tim Duncan game.
He'll give you a vintage Tim Duncan game. Well, we missed Derrick Rose 27, 28 games out of the regular season. Obviously missed 4 out of 5 in the playoffs. And I don't think we really had... When was the last time we had the real Derrick Rose?
I feel like the last time we had the real Derrick Rose was when he had that stank face swag in Milwaukee. When he hit that step back.
That's like an oldie, man. What month was that in?
That had to be at least 2 or 3 months ago. I might be exaggerating. Whatever the case, it's been a while since I've seen D. Rose show some swag.
Well, this won't be a podcast that's heavy on the stats. But I have a stat.
Yeah.
March 10th versus Utah was the last time Derrick Rose scored 20 points on 50% shooting.
Okay.
A couple months ago.
And you know what? Further to that point, I feel like I read something or saw something where Derrick Rose hasn't played consecutive basketball games in 2 to 3 months.
That's
crazy. It's been something ridiculous. Because he kept on playing, and then he'd take a day off. Or he played and then re-aggravated injury. Like, it's been a while since he's been healthy. And if there's any good, not saying that there's going to be anything good about coming from a torn ACL, is that it's going to force him to rest and really recover on all of those injuries. So hopefully, you know, he doesn't rush back the process. I think that, I don't know, again, we referred to the Bill Simmons site, Grantland. They had an article on Greg Oden, and one of the things that really set Oden back during his whole recovery process is that he rushed back far too many times. And, you know, I don't know if he felt the pressure from team management or pressure on himself, but hopefully, you know, Derek sees that as a cautionary tale.
Definitely. Well, the crazy thing about this Derrick Rose thing as well is that I feel like no matter what happened this year, if we would have had Derrick back, you know, the offseason would have been very uneventful. You basically bring back the same team, right?
You know, that's kind of what's sad about this because shout out to Doug Tonis, one of our favorite podcasters, Bulls writers, whatever you want to call him. Following him on Twitter, he's mentioning he has a lot more knowledge behind, you know, cap space and what.
Although we're gonna get into that this offseason.
Okay.
We're gonna get into that.
I'm gonna have to take some kind of class.
We're gonna get our study on.
All right. Well, essentially, this team is not gonna be the same next year. I mean, it's gonna be very subtle changes. We're not gonna acquire any game changers. But you know, you look at Watson, Korver, and Brewer. In all likelihood, one of them is gone, and that's likely going to be your boy, Ronnie Brewer.
That's that.
And then secondly, I think Ashiq is a restricted free agent.
Uh-huh.
So if there's a team out there that, you know, throws some ridiculous guap his way, then we may not be able to match unless we go into the luxury tax. So there's a good chance that we'll have a couple of guys not on the team next year, which is very disheartening because at the end of the day, it wasn't our team that was out there that got eliminated.
Definitely.
You know, we were talking about this before we started recording. A lot of people are asking for heads to roll, and we need to amnesty Boozer. We need to get rid of CJ. That's so unfair to say because we didn't lose that series because of those guys. We lost the series because our top three best players were injured. Rose, obviously, with his ACL. Joe came with his rolled ankle. And Dane was playing with one arm. So I don't see how you can all of a sudden overhaul and start rebuilding and say, this guy needs to go, that guy needs to go, when our actual team hasn't played yet.
That's definitely true. So I think the Bulls, and we'll talk about this more in the offseason, we'll be talking about trades, we'll be talking about free agent stuff, we'll be talking about the draft in our podcast during the offseason, but the Bulls, I think, essentially have two major decisions to make. One is what we're going to do with that backcourt. You got CJ, you got Korver, and you got Brewer. We're going to have to make decisions on those guys. And also, as you mentioned too, you know, the whole Boozer situation.
Right.
The internet is going nuts right now over Brewer.
Apparently, Boozer. Apparently the solution is to amnesty Boozer. And amnesty, that's going to be the quick fix.
You're a Twitter guy. Was amnesty Boozer ever trending?
I don't know if it was trending, but it was...
I feel like a Chicago trend.
Oh, my
like,
goodness.
You know when you click Chicago?
Right.
I feel like it could have been a Chicago... I mean, people... Listen.
People hate Boozer.
And I feel awkward in this situation because...
No, tell them how you really feel. Just go ahead and spill. You know, you talked about how you have a man crush on Ben Gordon.
Man.
I mean, a close second has to be Boozer, right?
Okay, so my...
Since the active players. I mean, we'll save Tony Kukoc for another day.
I feel like, okay, so in my prior life, I'm a public defender, right? So I defend people. Some may call criminals. Others may call accused criminals. But
how
I feel
you,
like
how you sleep at night.
Man, I sleep well. I sleep good. This rent getting paid. But you know, I feel like I'm defending these guys who can't be defended. So it's Carlos Boozer now.
It's instincts right now.
A couple years ago it was Ben Gordon. A couple years before that, it was Eddie Curry, man. I just ride with the guys who
And this is why Mitch won't ever be an NBA GM.
This is why, I guess, because I mean, we'll talk about it later. We can definitely talk about it in depth, but amnesty and Boozer is definitely not the right thing to do, just because, just the way the salary cap is set up, just the way the bird rights are set up, you can't just amnesty Boozer and take that $40 million and just give it to another awesome player. That's right. Just not the way things work.
Right. I think that the problem is, you know, after a season ends and, you know, like I said, you want to start playing the blame game, too many people are focused on what the problem is,
uh-huh,
as opposed to not only identifying the problem or bringing some solutions. And, you know, yeah, maybe Boozer was the problem and he wasn't providing what he needed to do with that bloated contract.
Yeah.
But what's the alternative?
Exactly.
You know, you could say, oh, well, we'll have Taj step up. But keep in mind, like, as I love Taj,
uh-huh,
and I would, yeah, I definitely would start him over Boozer, but he was getting his buckets, he was getting his shine against bench players,
uh-huh,
you know, and that's why he looks so good out there.
Yeah,
because he's going against the second unit.
But he went hard in game six and game four. I mean, against starters. I mean, he was
so you,
in Philly.
You named two games out of a 70 game season.
Definitely.
I mean, I'd like to see Taj prove himself, you know, throughout the year. But I think it was a great setup and embarrassment of riches to
Definitely.
Have Taj come off the bench.
I mean, I think it was a perfect situation. You got a great offensive player like Carlos Boozer, and if there's a knock on his game, it's obviously the defensive rebounding, shot blocking, and if that's a problem, you just bring in a guy like Gibson,
right,
and it just seems like it's like thunder and lightning. It's great.
Right.
It's a great situation.
Right.
So
I mean, the same could be said to a lesser extent about Brewer and Korver.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to next. We'll get more in depth with other podcasts, but I want you to rank these three,
mm-hmm,
in terms of importance, in terms of who do you want to have on the team next year? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, in terms of importance.
Right, and this is assuming D. Rose is out for the majority of the season.
Assuming D. Rose is out for the majority of the season, but you're probably going to sign these guys to a 2, 3, 4 year deal, so you know they'll be around.
I'll say that I might catch some heat for this, but I'll say that CJ is definitely number one on my list.
Okay.
Just because, again, you have to take a look at what's the alternative.
Okay.
Are we really going to have Carlton Banks starting as a point guard? I know that he might be a cult hero in some circles because, you know, he did have that ridiculous Miami game and he has stepped up. And I think there's a lot of cheering for the underdog when it comes to Lucas.
Wait, you say this as if you're not one of these people. Were there not emails sent?
I'm a Lucas hater.
Were there not emails sent? What do you call those? Memes? Or
memes?
Memes?
Internet memes, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you
not send one to the group?
Yeah, I was trying to shake you out of your phone. You had gone off the grid.
Right.
And I was trying to tell you, like, let's go. Like, it's going to be a good time in Philly. Anyways.
We'll put that up on the website. It was funny. I think everybody saw it on Facebook. But
So Lucas, I mean, he has had a couple of games. And he has literally won games for the Bulls.
Shots at that Miami game.
Right, but, you know, you can't have a point guard that has absolutely no court vision, dribbles the clock out 22 out of 24 seconds, then jacks up a shot. I think the myth or the fascination with Lucas is because he's so limited with his stature and his just, you know, being, what, under 6 feet or 5'9", I should say, and he throws up these shots that go in. That people are all fascinated that, oh, you know, he could become our savior. That's not the case at all. If you watch basketball lately, especially in the playoff games, he was hurting the Bulls more than he was helping.
It's funny. We went to game 3, game 4 in Philadelphia. I think game 4, we had made the decision that we were going to stand up and boo when John Lucas came into the game.
I know that as fans, we should always, you know, ride for our team. But we felt that it was appropriate to heckle John Lucas, especially in Philadelphia.
And what changed our decision is we were convinced that we were sitting behind his family.
I think that's a fact. Like, who calls Lucas, JL3, Carlton Banks, John?
Yeah.
And I know that the lady, who seemed like a lovely lady.
Seemed very knowledgeable about the game as well.
Right. She kept on calling him John and kept on calling, come on, baby boy, come on, baby boy. So, yeah, it made it awfully difficult.
We did not boo him.
Yeah, that's a little hashtag humble brag.
It's funny because I feel like she was like 6 minutes into the game. She was like, "Where's John?"
Right.
Like, where's John?
No,
how come John's not in the game?
One of my favorite comments that actually didn't come from the Lucas family but came from Mitch over here is Lucas must have gotten the memo that, you know, he was killing the Bulls, especially in game 3. And he actually played decent in the first 5 or so minutes that he was in the game, where he moved the ball around, didn't throw up any shots, but we all look confused because, you know, we're used to Lucas getting shots up. And what would you say? A law of physics had been defied?
Yeah, basically. No, I think that was Eugene. No, I think it was Brian. I think that might have been Brian.
Okay.
But even when he was playing quote-unquote good, it was just kind of that turnstile point guard thing.
Right.
You know, the Chris Duhon kind of sit at the top of the key and just like swing. There was nothing going to the basket and creating for people and putting people in good positions. So you're right. We definitely need something.
Going back to the original question, I put Watson at 1 just because we have no legit alternative.
And number 2 and number 3 is apples and oranges, basically.
Right. I'm going to go, and I wouldn't go that far because I would put Korver, and I know you're going to hate this, easily at 2.
Oh, wow.
Easily at 2. He is legitimately the only dude on our team that is a consistent 3-point shooter and spreads the floor. Name another dude that does that on a team.
Derrick Rose?
You're going to say Derrick Rose is a legit 3-point threat.
He's not as good of a 3-point shooter as Kyle Korver, but you definitely have to go out there.
I love him now. I don't know how much we've
seen this. And Hamilton. We got shooters, man.
Hold on. First of all, Hamilton is not a consistent 3-point shooter. I don't know what the percentages are, but it's gotten to the point, and I know you've said this before, or maybe it was Eugene, it's gotten to the point where when Korver misses a 3, it's a surprise.
Right, I said that. But you have to go out there and guard Hamilton at the three-point line. And that's what spreading the floor is about.
Okay, so here's why I'm saying that Korver is easily two. Because number three is Brewer. Only because we know Jimmy Butler is coming up the ranks.
Wow.
And he's going to be able to provide the same type of energy, same type of defensive stoppages and defensive energy, I should say, to replace Brewer and what he provided. Well, the only thing that I hope, you know, Brewer really took Butler under his wing during the year and really showed him how to do is move without the ball.
Definitely.
Because Brewer's movement off the ball
he
was
sets
amazing.
Up under the basket.
Right.
Like the,
his
great.
Baseline movement, I hope that Jimmy Butler picks up on that. But I think going forward, especially with 1 year under his belt, Jimmy Butler is going to really emerge as more of an offensive threat than Ronnie Brewer.
Well, I'm going to take you back to your point you said before. You kind of got after me because I was looking at two games and not looking at the entire season with Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there an argument to be made that we've seen Jimmy Butler in very limited situations? We haven't
right.
seen him. A lot of crap time, a lot of cleanup time. And, I mean, there have only been like three or four spots that I can really think of that he's been in the game when it's important. Do we really know who Jimmy Butler is?
Not yet, but, you know, all things considered with cap restrictions
Definitely.
And who can afford. And, again, if I had to lose someone, I have more confidence in Butler replacing a guy like Brewer than I would him replacing a guy like Korver.
Well, I think your list is not too far off. I would swap out Brewer and Korver. Just real quickly, I think you can find shooting. There are guys out there that can shoot.
Who, though?
I mean, I think we have a bunch of good shooters in our team. I'm not going to lie. I think between Boozer's not a three-point shooter. Between Boozer, Hamilton, Dang, when Rose comes back, C.J. Watson, those are all guys. I mean, I think we're actually a pretty decent jump shooting team. One thing that we don't have is a guy that you can know could stand up to the Russell Westbrooks of the world. The Dwayne Wade's God, Evan Turner.
I know.
You mad, Eugene? Evan Turner's a beast, yo. Evan Turner's a beast. Evan Turner's gonna be like a really good player.
Hold on.
Tomorrow.
It was one series. It was against his hometown.
I'm saying right now, Evan Turner is going to be an all-star.
He was nice. He was nice.
He was the second pick in the draft.
Right, right. And I think he'll get better, but I mean, you say all-star.
All-star.
I believe.
All-star in the next 5 years.
Okay.
Listen, it's on the internet now. You can get me. All right. We'll be back with our fourth topic. I don't know what to say, but we'll be back, right?
Yeah, and we'll wrap things up.
We'll wrap things up. We'll be back in a second. All right, guys, we're back. I lied. I said this is topic number four. This is actually topic number three. We're going to be talking about the rest of the playoffs. The Bulls are out.
Wait, the playoffs aren't canceled?
Yeah, we're watching the playoffs right now, man.
I was hoping that they were actually canceled after the Bulls got eliminated.
We gotta figure out who we're going to root for.
You know, I'm actually, I don't know, this is going to sound weird, but there's a part of me that's actually happy. I don't want to use happy,
okay.
But okay with the Bulls being out of the playoffs. And the reason being is because I feel like I genuinely like watching playoff basketball, and it's so much easier to watch basketball when you don't have a horse in the race. And I feel like it's going to be pretty stress-free when it's just going to be entertainment. Like, right now...
You take the losses pretty hard.
I take the losses way too hard. I mean, it's to the point where I know I shouldn't care that much, but I do. And there's nothing that, you know, that... I mean, maybe I need to see a psychologist. But there's nothing that'll change my stance on that.
You had a really good Facebook post, I think it was a couple days ago, something about, like, I shouldn't take this so seriously, this guy's in black jerseys.
Right. You know, you essentially have dudes wearing red and black putting a ball through the hoop. And for whatever reason, this, depending on whether they're successful or not, dictates how good I feel about the day or even the week.
Yeah.
And it has very adverse consequences on my relationships. So it'll be nice to watch the playoffs without that stress.
All right. Well, I got beef with you, man. I'm not going to lie.
What's that?
Are you rooting for the Celtics?
Okay. It's not so much that I'm rooting for the Celtics, is that I'm rooting against the Heat. And I legitimately think that the Celtics are our best hope for the Heat not to make the finals.
I hate
from them. From the Eastern Conference.
I hate the Celtics more than the Heat, man.
You know,
how
that,
can you not
fair.
Remember
that's
2009?
Fair. I do, but we were
that's
the underdogs.
That's a series that made us men.
That's true. And, you know, something that is disappointing about this Rose injury is that this was going to be the year where almost like the apprentice overtakes the master in the sense that, you know, Tom Thibodeau coming up under Doc Rivers, at least for a couple years, being that he was his assistant in Boston, is, you know, leads these Bulls who were punked by the Celtics in what was probably the greatest first round series in the history of the NBA.
Oh, man.
And you see us overcome the Celtics. But keep in mind, that Bulls team, with the exception of Rose and Noah, is completely different than this year's Bulls team. Dang didn't play in that series.
Yeah. Well, anytime you take Ben Gordon out of the team, that changes the whole thing. Definitely. Well, I
so what I'm trying to say is that I'm rooting for anyone that can stop the Heat.
Okay, so goal number one, the Heat not win. The percentage, I want right now the percentage they win the championship.
I'm going to give it a good, I'm just going to go 50.
Just because
whoever comes out of the West is going to be tough.
I have it at like 85%.
Really? I don't know. They were playing against a New York team that just wasn't.
New York is not bad. They made New York look bad. People were feeling New York before the playoffs started. And it's just that Miami made them look terrible.
I don't know. I think that especially, okay, I didn't pay too much attention to the Heat-Knicks series, but I did see the final quarter of Game 4, and that's the one game that the Knicks won. And I feel like when it does get down to crunch time, as long as the team is able to keep it close, there's going to be that, you know, dueling banjo, conflicting hero ball, who takes the last shot between Wade and LeBron. And I just don't think that they figure it out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think that as long as the team keeps it close, it's been proven already by the Knicks that you can beat the Heat.
Okay. Well, I can see that. I just think that they're much too talented that, you know, they do struggle in those fourth quarter situations late in the game. But the fact of the matter is they have the two best players on the planet that are playing, you know, the first, you know, 45 minutes or whatever you want to call it, that are getting people in bad situations. But I don't know who to root for. I feel very conflicted because I hate everybody in the East left. I have beef with every single team left.
That is a completely fair point. I think
Indy may be the team I have the least problem with.
Really? See, okay, so you know how you were just saying that you hate Boston more than you hate the Heat? In all honesty, if I were to put, you know, rank my teams in the order that I hate them the most, it probably would go Indiana 1.
Wow.
2, New York. 3,
the Heat. Why Indy?
Because of just how they tried to – well, first of all, their coach.
Frank Vogel. We should have won the series.
Props to him for having a big mouth.
Little context. Last year, Bulls beat Indiana in 5, and Frank Vogel the whole time is like, basically the Bulls are lucky.
Right.
We're a better team.
I think Kevin Love put it best when he said – Indiana's a bunch of fake tough guys. Well, no. He said Indiana thinks that they're a bunch of tough guys.
Yeah.
And I just think
Kevin Love said that.
Wow. Earlier in the year, there's a bunch of tough guys. And him and Danny Granger actually had some beef on Twitter, which is funny because I think they were Olympic teammates. Or not Olympic, but World Championship teammates. Anyways, I just think that they carry themselves in a very arrogant manner that you can, I guess, mistake for swag when they haven't done anything to earn it.
Definitely. I would have definitely put Boston. I would definitely put Philly on the bottom of that list, but then we went to Philadelphia and just saw how terrible Philly fans really are.
Right. And, you know, just to reiterate my point about my hate for Indiana, along those same lines, we went to the game last year, Game 4, Bulls-Pacers in Indianapolis. And while it was a great environment because it was pretty much split 50-50 between Bulls and Pacers fans, I mean, that was the one game we lost in that series. And it got heated between me and the Pacers fans.
You made it heated. The Indy fans were a million times better than the Philly fans.
That's fair, but
1 million times better.
I'm peacefully heading towards the exit in Indianapolis.
More context. We took over as Bulls fans, the Indy segment.
We painted Conseco Fieldhouse red.
It was bad, man. I mean, it was, what, 60% Bulls fans?
It was It was around that mark. It felt like a college game. It felt like a Final Four game where it was
every shot split. Was huge.
And all I know is that we lost. I'm already pissed off that we lost.
Yeah, we had some subs. We had some beers.
Right. We were feeling pretty good, but you know, we were also a little salty that we lost. I'm peacefully heading to the party bus, to head back to Chicago, when I hear some dude yell, you know, I hope Derrick Rose is injured enough for like end of his career, because Derrick Rose injured himself that game. And they were just yelling stuff, saying that, you know, they hope that he injured himself and he's out for the year, out for the series. And you don't talk about my baby like that.
That was five guys, though. What about Philly, the entire stadium cheering when Noah went down?
Yeah.
The entire stadium. And then booing when he got up.
For those of you who have never been to Philly, it definitely felt like a professional wrestling crowd.
Oh my God. I mean,
their taunts were pretty classic, though. Like, there were a couple of taunts that I really appreciated, some that were just dumb. But
Carlos Boozer go back to Alaska.
That was well researched.
Yeah, Joe Kim Noah, you're ugly. Yeah. That's the full taunt.
No, my favorite was I definitely had a target on my back because I was wearing I was decked out in Bulls apparel. I was wearing a throwback Jordan jersey, and one dude was yelling at me, saying, "Hey man, your jersey's old. You know that Jordan doesn't play for the Bulls anymore." And I wanted to turn around and be like, "You don't say!"
I had no idea Michael Jordan is not on the Bulls anymore. I'm going to throw this jersey away.
I guess I got ripped off.
Well, I think we've decided that Philly fans are terrible, but you're riding with Boston.
Give you the full picture here. I actually would really enjoy a finals between Boston and San Antonio.
Okay, yeah, we haven't talked about the West yet. San Antonio's out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have game 7 of the Clip Memphis. This will probably, by the time you guys will hear this, it'll probably be decided.
Right.
And then who else do we have out there? We got OKC, right?
Right. OKC plays the winner of Denver-LA.
Any favorites out west? Anybody that we can?
God, you know, I
can latch on to.
Again, I have beef with most teams except for San Antonio. If I had to actually choose, though, you know, San Antonio is a bit of a sentimental. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim Duncan can end his career with going out on top. But I kind of like Memphis or LA, LA Clippers, I should say.
Yeah, those teams.
Don't get it twisted. I'm not riding on the Lakers bandwagon. Yeah. The reason why I like the Clippers and the Grizzlies is because they're both franchises that don't really have a history.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, they're both underdogs. If they were whichever team makes it out of their series, and it would be a bit unprecedented for them to go to the finals.
Well, isn't OKC kind of like that?
I just have beef with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
I just can't stand him.
Yeah, he's not cool.
Very very articulate.
No, but they got so many guys on the team that it's cool, you know.
Right,
like Serge Ibaka is like.
Right,
the new
like I can ride with him. I can ride with KD.
Yeah,
you know, like
Harden's got the beard.
Right, Nicholson. Yeah. I even appreciate him, but for some reason, I just don't want to see Russell Westbrook win. I don't know what it is.
There's guys in the NBA, I feel like, who think they're the best player ever.
Right. And that would be essentially me if I
right.
were ever making
the So you feel like, I feel like you would, like, kind of...
Hate myself?
Connect with, like,
no,
Russell Westbrook's swag, you know?
Here's my theory. Russell Westbrook trains with Derrick Rose in the offseason.
Yes.
And out in L.A.
Along with Kevin Love, right?
Right. It's well publicized. And I think that, you know, they go at it in the offseason. And Westbrook's like... Yo, I'm going, you know, toe-to-toe, you know, basket for basket with the MVP of the league. I should be the MVP.
Right.
And it gives his ego, or inflates his ego, I should say. So now he brings that attitude to OKC and is like, no, you know, I got this. When in reality, like, dude, you got Kevin Durant on your team.
Right.
Like, you should be deferring to him. And I just can't stand when I see Russell Westbrook dribble up the court and then just pull up a jumper when... You know, he should be moving the ball. He should be more of a point guard. You know, like, if Derrick Rose had a Kevin Durant on his team, I would you know, be talking this much smack towards Derrick Rose.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, Derrick Rose doesn't have as many weapons as Russell Westbrook does.
Right, right, right. Well, I definitely feel you there. I guess we've figured out that, man, I guess we're rooting for Memphis in Lob City.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like Blake Griffin is definitely getting a lot of flack lately.
Man, if I was dunking on people like that, I'd be staring people down too. Yeah. Don't let me dunk.
But
don't let me dunk.
The thing is, you know, Lob City could easily be replaced with Flop City.
Right.
You know, like,
I mean, I but everybody flops though.
Not as much as the Clippers. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as much as the Clippers, especially Reggie Evans.
Oh man, Reggie Evans is a grimy dude. Reggie Evans, I think he's a Philly dude.
There's not many players that I'll look, watch on TV and be like, wow, that dude must smell. Nah. Like, I feel like Reggie Evans is up there.
I feel like Reggie Evans would like, I mean, he's a notorious cock puncher. He's done it before. So is Chris Paul.
Do we need to beep that out?
We might need to.
Okay.
Sorry. He's a notorious, he'll go low.
Right.
He'll
right.
go off.
That's been seen before. Yeah. There's video evidence.
There's video evidence to that.
Ask Chris Kamen.
What up, Chris? well, I guess we're going to figure this out. We're not going to get it decided today who we're rooting for, but I think
that's hold on. I said that I want, as a sentimental favorite, kind of, you know, the last stand by these old dogs, Boston and San Antonio. Who would your two finals picks be?
Who do I think is going there, or who am I rooting for?
Who are you rooting for? That was the topic of the conversation.
Yeah, right. I think I'm rooting just for something horrible to happen in the East and just like nobody make it. I don't want like a terrorist attack.
I'm gonna have to do some research, but I don't think that's possible.
I can't root for anybody in the East, so I'm rooting for the West. And I guess I'm gonna root for the young guys. I think Memphis, or I guess they're really not even that young, but teams that haven't found themselves in the limelight, Memphis.
Right.
OKC,
right,
LA Clippers. I think those would be the three teams I would root for. Everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, it would be kind of fun to see JaVale McGee in the finals.
Oh, man.
Just because who knows what he could do with the spotlight on him.
Oh, man. It's going to be nuts.
Right.
It's going to be nuts. All right.
I'll tell you who's not making the finals. The Bulls. Too soon.
Why'd you have to do that, though?
Sorry. I feel like we had to bring this full circle.
There's no reason to do
that. It was episode one. Got to bring this full circle.
Well, speaking of episode one, I think we are coming toward the end. This is our first time. I think we did pretty good.
I think this we may have peaked too early. Like this might be it.
Are we? Who would be an NBA comparison of us peaking too early? Penny?
T-Mac? We might be the Penny Hardaway.
Are we the Penny has a? Well, it might just be bad and we're just feeling ourselves, but we might be out of voice.
To all you two listeners out there, we all right.
Yeah, we all right. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, you can catch us on Twitter at The Bulls Show. I'm sure we'll have some Facebook thing going on. Our website, Bulls Show, thebullshow.blogspot.com. You can also email us at thebullshow@gmail.com. And we're going to be asking for some help. I think next week or next month or whenever we do this again, I want to do a real-life NBA Jam tournament. Okay?
Right.
I don't know if this is a good idea or not. Maybe we won't do this. But what would happen if we had a 2-on-2 tournament? Who would be the best teams?
Stay tuned.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back in sometime in the future. I'm sure it'll be good. See you later, Jay.
Both teams played hard. God bless and good night.
All right. Peace.